Hello and a very warm welcome to the very first edition of the brand new Cardiff podcast. My name is Alistair Love. The Cardiff podcast is a series of interviews with the movers and shakers and characters that make up our great city. And to that end, I couldn't think of a better person to kick off this series of podcasts than Chris Amadeu, the brains behind the I Love's a Diff brand. We reflect deeply on the changes in Cardiff over the last 20 years. And also reflect on how his family came to South Wales in the first place and what constitutes a good night out in Cardiff. He's a very engaging and warm character, and I hope you enjoy it. I certainly enjoyed the chat. So sit back, enjoy, put your feet up, and it sounds an awful lot like this. Chris Amadeu, thank you very much for being the first guest on the very, very prestigious, or soon will be, Cardiff podcast. Really, really appreciate that. I thought you would be the perfect person to open this podcast. I almost see you as like an ambassador for Cardiff. So who better?
Wow.
So thank you very much again.
thank you
very much.
Well, thank you.
And welcome. So the first obvious question really is, how did I Love the Diff come about?
Well, yeah, thanks very much for having me. Humbling and slightly intimidating of you to say all those things. So how it came about, basically, I'd moved away from Cardiff to go to university in Swansea. And then I came back for a bit, and I was on the dole for a bit. And then I was, well, very short time actually, I was working for a company around the corner from here, the Kirby Cleaning Company.
Have you heard of that? Yeah.
On Witchers Road, which may now be...
I think it's probably something else now.
Yeah, exactly. Haven't been in there since it changed.
It's changing rapidly, Witchers Road. We'll come on to that probably later.
So basically, I was trying to get into journalism. So I was doing a bit of writing, did a bit of writing for Big Issue, Cymru, things like that, unpaid stuff.
Yeah.
And eventually ended up down in London doing a course and getting a job. So when I got to 30, I came back to work for my dad. He's got a building company. And he was so keen and eager to have me back. And I figured, even though it wasn't a career part of my career path, well, I didn't really have one. I just was kind of getting to that. You know, you get to watershed moments in your life and you kind of think, what am I doing? And you have a bit of a wobble, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I thought it was an opportunity because, I did miss Cardiff, but then I came back often anyway. So it wasn't something I really wanted to do. It wasn't like I was always destined to come back to Cardiff. And my mum was talking about it the other day. She was like literally shocked when I said, I'm moving back in 2 months. I'm coming back, I'm ditching the job, and I'm going to work for dad. I just thought it was an opportunity. Firstly, not everyone has an opportunity to work with their parents, probably for the best in some respects. But so it was a complete experiment. And then coming back to Cardiff, working for my dad, I just reconnected with old friends, kind of learned Cardiff again. It changed so much anyway. Mm-hmm. And living in a place rather than just visiting every couple of months or, you know, when the rugby's on or at Christmas is completely different. Mm. So it was just kind of like reconnecting with my hometown. So it was amazing.
So was it actually going away from Cardiff heightened your feelings towards the place, or was it from an early age you had a sense of the uniqueness of the city?
No, exactly. I think it's the former, just simply because you haven't got any context, have you, when you're just from a place. A lot of friends, you know, I remember like in our 20s and stuff, and you'd come home and you're full of the, oh, I'm doing this, you know, the usual stuff. And then a lot of your friends who hadn't left were full of the kind of justifying to you why they were still stuck in Cardiff. And there was not that was an accusation that anyone would make to them, or I wouldn't make to them. There was a sense of when you go around the world, you realise what we're doing well and what we're not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you see of the world, it's kind of like you've got to travel to kind of see your hometown with new eyes, haven't you? And so I realised how good it was, basically.
And what was it like going to Swansea from Cardiff? Because that's quite an interesting choice for a Cardiffian.
It is, yeah, it's a bit daft, I suppose. But the reason was, it was raining in Cardiff on the day of my interview. I wanted to do geography and Italian, joint honours. And so I went down, my dad drove me down very kindly. And it was tipping down in Cardiff and it was sunny in Swansea and I thought, right, that's pretty good. Interview went well. And I think I basically based it on the weather, which is a bit daft. But then Swansea's got, it had a good reputation at the time for geography. And obviously it's got the beaches of the Gower and stuff. So back then, students weren't really welcome in the town on the weekend, a bit more. I mean, in the week it was fine, but on the weekends it was pretty much suicide to do that. And I remember a friend of mine got into DJing, He did the chill out room in Martha's or something like that, or one of the, they used to call it Martha's, I think it was called something else at the time. But anyway, I remember him just, I remember going into the loos, and there were these two Swansea guys, and they were having a, I was literally in the cubicle, and they were in at the urinal, and they were saying, basically just like, oh, bloody students, and I was thinking, oh, great, okay, just keep quiet.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah, but what about the people from Cardiff? I'm going to kill them. I just remember thinking, just shut up.
So, a Cardiff student, exactly. That's a tremendous like, combination.
Yeah, bingo. Yeah. So, it was kind of, they were frightening moments, I suppose. But, you know, it's the same as anywhere, being a student. You felt a little, I think it's times have changed. But back then it was like you were not considered, you know, not wholly welcome by the local populace. Whereas I think, you know, you might get a few grumbles on social media now when I mention students, but for the most part, every sensible person. Times have changed, haven't they? And they also, and people also realise the spending power of students, so they're welcome for many different reasons.
Actually, I think they change towns and cities for the better, don't they? The whole education sector seems to have exploded, and, you know, the halls of residence are everywhere, so there's whole new opportunities bubbling up. I think Cardiff, speaking of Cardiff, which is what this is all about, of course, it's a fabulous student city now, and
it is.
Anecdotally, friends and family's offspring just seem to don't want to leave, actually, now, which is a big change from our day, perhaps.
For sure. I mean, I always thought I'd love to come to Cardiff as a student, but the only reason I didn't was because I grew up here, and I, you know, that I felt almost an obligation, not even a desire, personal desire, but almost like a social obligation. Oh, you've got to leave just to go somewhere else at that time. But yeah, it's amazing. We've got relatives who were brought up in England, you know, just or Herefordshire and places like that, and they've come here and they've wanted to stay just purely because they love the city. Yeah. So, and that's, you know, we've got loads of evidence, you know, like even amongst friends and friends of friends, of people doing that. So it's not, it's kind of like a common thing now that people are obviously choosing to stay in Cardiff after they graduate. And it's, I suppose it's twofold. It's firstly that they love the place when they're here, but then also there's the jobs opportunities. Mm. And there aren't a huge number of opportunities, but they're getting better and better all the time, aren't they? So.
Well, they definitely seem to be. And as you say, I think the city, you know, there are a heap of opportunities now, probably more than there ever were before.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely getting better. I mean, you've got, you know, kind of big companies locating here or growing here, you know, and startups as well. And a lot of companies relocate to Cardiff to get kind of government finance, because obviously the Welsh government seems to be very kind of proactive with regards to backing small companies or, you know, startups and IT. So I think everything's going in the right direction, really. I mean, maybe I don't know what the other places are like. So, I mean, maybe we're a bit behind the likes of Birmingham and Bristol and things like that. But it feels like, even in the last, like since I started I Love Zadiv, things have like developed rapidly. There seems to be a lot more young people in the city, not just students. And it just feels like, yeah, there's a kind of a trajectory or a kind of momentum about the place, which is really good to see.
It is. For work, I used to go up to Bristol quite a lot. And actually, being a Cardiff City fan, like giving any praise to Bristol or Swansea is hard going. But I've spent a lot of time in each city lately, and they are really, really good. They are great places. Swansea is a great place, I have to say. But, you know, with Cardiff, does that make I Love Zadiv even more exciting in terms, because of how rapid the change is?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it's just, I mean, in some respects, it's kind of, this is part of me that kind of thinks like, well, I was kind of doing this, not before anything really, because I started this in 2009, so it wasn't that long ago anyway, in the grand scheme of things.
God, it seems way longer than that. And that's due to you as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Hence the grey hairs. But it really does, it feels like, but it doesn't feel like the same city as even in 2009, to me anyway, personally, just because I suppose I almost live and breathe any sort of news that happens, and it's not so much that there's no money in what I'm doing in that kind of the social media side of things, particularly. Yeah. It's more just a passion for it, and just kind of wanting to be seen in a way of being on the ball and knowing what's going on, and also kind of interacting as well with people who also share a passion for Cardiff. So that's what I really love doing Twitter and things like that for.
And that passion for Cardiff really comes through strongly. What is it about the city that makes you feel so passionate about it?
I suppose, to a certain extent, when it's your hometown, there's something there that you'll forgive it anything. But then at the same time, a lot of, you know, it's much more than that. I think, and it comes through, because obviously people who weren't born here love it just as much as I do. And that's and my, both my parents, neither were born here. They both moved here when they were in their teens. And it, I think it's just something to do with, it's just kind of, it's quirky, it's unique with regards to, it's Welsh, but it's not typically Welsh.
Yeah.
It definitely has its own distinct character. And then there's no airs and graces about it, is it? There's, it's kind of, it'll knock you down in terms of, or knock any sort of pretentiousness you've got, or, you know, off you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's just in terms of, like, literally the physics of it, it's small. It's you can literally, I mean, especially having lived in London, and everything is, London's an amazing city, and it's so much fun, there's so much going on. But then if you want to get somewhere, well, it's an hour away. Everything's like a logistical kind of headache. Whereas Cardiff, oh yeah, I'll see you in 10 minutes, I'll see you in 20 minutes. And you can, yeah, we complain about the traffic, but it's nothing by comparison to other cities. And yeah, it's getting worse, but hopefully solutions will come along in due course to kind of negate those things. But yeah, so I think it's just that it's the quality of life here as well. That's the big thing. So as you get older, you appreciate other things. You don't necessarily want to go clubbing on a Tuesday night, but you want other things, better parks, good schools, and just, yeah, ease of getting about, so... Yeah, I think that's the reason.
And obviously, so you said you went off to London. How long did you go up to London?
I was in London for 5 years.
Oh, really? Oh, exactly the same as myself, yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. And where did you live when you were there?
So I lived in Wandsworth and then split up with a girl and then moved to... Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, no, I was in Sands End, which is, I think, just north of the river, near Chelsea.
Yeah.
Then went to Wandsworth, then went to Angel and then ended up in Highbury, where I met my wife.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Oh, fantastic! So, yeah, because I've lived up north as well. The end, up in East Finchley. Yeah. So, did you enjoy the London experience?
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, I mean, you can't fail to. Well, maybe you can, but I didn't. I mean, it was just it's just such a big city. When you're young and you're kind of, you know, you're kind of not. I mean, to a certain extent, not kind of a total party animal or anything, but there's just something going on all the time. And and also this, because it's just such a huge number of people. Whatever you're into, whatever type of music, for example, or activity you want to do, there'll probably be another 500 people willing to do it on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night, or what have you. So there's always that.
You could never get bored out there, I
exactly,
found.
Yeah.
And actually, but this is all relevant, because I came back in 2005, I think it was, and, you know, the change, Cardiff was changing rapidly then, but from 2005 to now, it's just so, so different now.
I think that's the point. I think I'd seen, I came back in 2006, so I just really thought that, I thought it changed so much up until that point. It was almost like it's going to plateau or something, and it hasn't. It's just kind of, its momentum has built, which is really exciting to see. And then there's a part of you, part of me maybe, that sometimes kind of harks back, slightly nostalgic for the way things were. And it's hard to be always open-armed to change, even though you know that a city has to grow, otherwise it just kind of withers on the vine, doesn't it? Change is healthy.
It very much is.
It's just about kind of maintaining some sort of the character or the personality at the same time without, you know, not foregoing that. So I was just going to say, I spoke to Peter Finch the other day, the author.
Yeah.
And I was asking him about that, because obviously a lot of his work is about kind of, about the past, I suppose, the history of Cardiff. And he was telling me how welcoming he was of change. And I was just kind of, it was kind of a little lesson to me just to be perhaps a little bit more, I kind of have that knee-jerk reaction of, well, what are they doing now? They're going to tear down something. And, you know, sometimes things have to come down, I suppose. I mean, not always, maybe the Splots University is a bad example, because that's something that should have stayed. I really, you know, believe that. But there's so many... so much change going on, and I think you've got to be welcoming of it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And again, it's the speed which amazes me. Even like in the Castle Quarter just recently, you know, there's a number of independent... Now, this is what I'm particular... I want to get your view on it, really. It's the sort of independent outlets and bars and cafes seem to be having a real moment now. And I personally really love that. What are you enjoying about how Cardiff is changing?
Well, I think that's you mentioned the independence and things like that. I think that's changed in terms of just people, like young entrepreneurs, willing or having the confidence and maybe the backing to get into business and give something a go. And I think it's always been the way that there have always been these kind of self-starting kind of people, nothing like me. I mean, you know, we're talking like much younger than when I started in Loves of Div. And it's, you know, so there are always these kind of people, but maybe it's easier now, or maybe it's easier to see them. They're more visible because we're celebrating on social media, being independent and to shop local. So yeah, as you said, it's having a moment. But yeah, it's only to be encouraged, isn't it? It really is good to see so many young people kind of going into business. I mean, for a start, they're staying in Cardiff after they graduate or they're coming to Cardiff.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they're obviously very collaborative. And I mean, I noticed that I was speaking to the guys who run Bar 44.
Yeah.
Was it Owen Morgan?
Right.
Can't remember, sorry. But anyway, Owen was saying that he was when he first tried to get into set up Bar 44 down in Cowbridge, there wasn't this kind of sense of kind of sponsorship or mentoring within the restaurant industry, or the Spanish, I suppose, food industry in South Wales. So he wouldn't get any help from other people. He was seen as potential competition.
Right.
And he had to go down to London to do this kind of training for free. He was offering him his services for free, because he was just a pair of hands who wanted to learn. But now he said how it's changed, how they're very kind of cooperative with regards to other people. And I went to a sherry afternoon in Bar 44. That's my life.
That's splendid.
It was amazing. And I had everything to learn about sherry, because I haven't got a clue. But it's
Harvey's Bristol Cream, that's
it. Exactly. It's lush though. Every time I go into Bar 44 now, I'm like, flight of sherry. And it was a real eye opener. And what they'd done is they got their head of sherry into do it. So this very kind
They've
of
got
regal,
a head of sherry.
Oh yeah,
he's tremendous.
He kind of dresses a bit like Prince Charles. I mean, he's like literally amazingly tailored, amazingly groomed gentleman. And he said he had a grandparent who was Welsh, so he was quite excited to be in Cardiff. And he gave this talk, and it was quite like an honour, I suppose, for Bar 44 to get this guy in there. And it was a real eye opener. It was amazing. So, but anyway, in that kind of seminar or session or what have you, the guys from Corrado were in there.
Yeah.
Now, and I think Corrado, before they opened the bar, they supplied Bar 44 with their stuff. But it was just a sense of, oh, I thought they were the competition, you know, and there isn't that sense of that. People are seeing the bigger picture, I think, with regards to competition and things like that. It's kind of it's benefiting everybody to have that kind of more, you know, not competition, but more businesses in play, and especially independents as well.
I guess the divide, if that's the right word, is between the chains and the independents.
Yeah.
And I think Cardiff is starting to get that mix right, because there's been a huge explosion of chains with St. David's 2 and all that, and they have their place. I'm not here to knock them at all, but then you need, you know, as a counterbalance to that, you need a thriving independent sector, and it's almost geographical now, isn't it, because you've got St. David's 2 on the one side, and then St. Mary's Street and sort of the Student Never Eat Shreddy Week west of there is far, is far more independent, isn't it?
I know, exactly, that's it. I mean, it's I suppose there's obviously some sort of magic formula that people are putting out to attract the chains. I mean, Oaxaca coming here.
That's exactly it.
I mean, so, you know, as you said, we don't want to knock the chains. I mean, there's a certain extent people come to Cardiff for that kind of experience,
absolutely,
don't they? They come to St. David's and they were going to Cabot Circus before. Now they don't leave South Wales to go and do their big shopping or whatever their kind of blue kind of chip high value kind of shopping. So I mean, it's good in many respects. But as you say, there's definitely, I think the balance is improving. There are definitely good, really good quality indies and some older stalwarts like Cafe Cheetah and places like that, who are just going from strength to strength just by doing what they've always done, and people are genuinely appreciating that.
Oh, I bloody love that place. I can never get in there.
I was going to say,
if you can get in, it's tremendous. But
get in the door, I'll just be told, go away.
No, but it just struck me the other day, though, because I was meeting friends over Christmas, actually, and we were walking through, I think it was the Duke Street Arcade, or one of those, and it was the Castle Quarter, anyway. You had Nine Yards coffee bar on the one end, then you walk the way through New York Deli and all that, so you had the established ones, and then you got to the two Barker's offers, Corner Coffee, and I thought, Christ, that's a really great little walk through, and it's purely indies, and they're really good quality as well. I love Barker's new gin
Gin and Juice.
Gin and Juice. Yes. They've done a great job of it. Yeah, they've done a really, really great job of it. And if I was a visitor, I'd be thinking, God, these places look great, you know?
I mean, I think that's one of the best things about Cardiff, isn't it? I mean, it's long been celebrated, the arcades.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're coming into their own again, aren't they? They're really blossoming. And I suppose to a certain extent, it's more of a food and coffee offering.
Yeah.
But then that seems to be where the money is these days, hence why Barker's gone from clothing into their coffee and tea in a big way, and gin and juice. So, that's only exciting. As rents go up, you increasingly hear complaints from kind of long-standing independent shops in there that they're getting priced out. Mm. And like Home by Kirsty is a case in point, perhaps. I'm not going to speak for her, obviously.
No.
But just from the fact that she's left town, she's left that arcade to set up in Roath, was a bit disappointing because she was one of the like non-foodie indies in the city centre. So there's and I don't know whether the landlord's changed in there and maybe they're not Cardiff based anymore. And you know, so it's difficult to get the balance right because obviously they've got to be high quality shops and things in there. But obviously the people who own them have got to make their money. But at the same time, you've got to nurture. And I didn't realise until very recently that arcades were seen as almost like a stepping stone for businesses. So, and you wouldn't think it given how long businesses are in existence in the market. But originally, or the philosophy behind the market is the fact that people go in there as a startup, get really low rent, and then they move on to the arcade. Right. And the idea was that then they progress or evolve to the high street.
Sure.
So there was this whole kind of kind of journey that a business would do, but obviously it doesn't really happen like that.
No, it's got interested on that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there is, and it never really worked out, I suppose, because obviously lots of businesses in the market wanted to stay in the market because that's what, you know, like the fish people, they weren't designed to go anywhere else. They're in the perfect spot for
that's right.
But I was just quite intrigued as to that was ever a kind of a plan by the council or whoever built the market, that was a, they were going to be put there, then they were going to be put into the arcade, and it was almost like a kind of like a startup kind of scenario for the late 19th century, which is kind of amazing.
It's great, and those arcades were on the brink, not dying as such, but it was getting a bit threadbare, wasn't it, offer, and they all seem to be flourishing now.
They do, and I mean certainly down in the Morgan Quarter. I mean, they've gone from strength to strength, haven't they? And again, I mean, it's, you know, St. David's too. See, that's, you can, that whole idea of, they've changed the kind of the axis or the focus of town. And suddenly being down there, one of the victims, I suppose, was Spillers suddenly not being able to be on the Hayes, which is a tragedy. But at the same time, that they're in the arcade and they're in one of the best arcades.
Yeah.
And the quality of the shops in there, which is amazing, isn't it?
Spillers is a good example. It's a great offer they've got, even though you're right, it was a real shame they went off the Hayes, but I guess this for the sake of progress, blah blah blah, but I personally like their new shop.
It's great,
it's good, but you say the quality of the other shops in that arcade is tremendous as well.
It's brilliant. I mean that's the thing, isn't it, if you go to a new city, the last thing I would want to be doing is walking around a shopping mall.
You can get those anyway.
It's generic, isn't it? It's the same, you go to Westfield, you go to wherever, Cabot Circus.
Yeah.
They're all pretty much the same brands and things like that. I think any city, decent city, has to have them.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Oh, yeah, you have to have them,
But then if you're here on a city break, where would you be? Mm. You'd be in the arcade. You'd be on the west side, checking out the City Arms and all the kind of quirky places that you don't have back home. So it's great to see.
I'd probably argue that they still, it's not their fault, whoever's in charge of marketing them. I do think that there needs to be probably a little bit more volume on their existence. I don't know. Oh, God, I'm really rambling now. For me, when you've got all these, that's another very, very noticeable thing, is we are getting far more city break type tourists.
Yep,
and you've forever seen people with big cameras around their necks now. It's fantastic. I guess the best way to explore a city always is to walk it. So they're going to explore them anyway, I suppose. I just think they could be marketed a little bit better. But
so you mean like in terms of visibility when people are on the ground or before they visit?
Well, before, I would argue, before.
I think, because I get a really warped view of Cardiff and who's paying attention and stuff, because presumably a lot of people who follow I live at Diff, or and I follow, they're Cardiff based.
Yeah.
So we're just talking to each other the whole time.
Yeah.
And going, how Cardiff's Lush is amazing, brilliant.
Yeah.
And nobody outside actually cares or watches or listens. So you do get a different, like a completely skewed sense of how important Cardiff is, or how you know, and how large it is on people's kind of radar. But you're right, I'm sure it's and to a certain extent it depends on, I suppose, who's helping us in terms of, like, you got Visit Cardiff and Visit Wales.
Yeah.
Visit Wales obviously is the whole of Wales, and they have their kind of, you know, Year of the Sea this year, so that's very exciting, because you've got the Volvo race coming to Cardiff in the summer, so that's going to be amazing. But and then Visit Cardiff are often kind of seen as they're often doing the kind of international stuff.
Mm.
Maybe there isn't enough attention to local, you know, kind of UK stuff. But then, and I suppose increasingly it's quite easy to do decent campaigns, well, in the sense that it's, at least it's kind of relatively cheap on social media.
Yeah.
But it's just how to target people, I suppose, isn't it? And I suppose things like events like, the football, I mean, it's the big events. I mean, suddenly Cardiff, you just, you know, it's being on people's TVs and people binging it up, or just nice shots of it, even when it's on the cricket and things like that.
Yeah.
You see those amazing shots in the summertime, don't you? And you're really proud of it. You see the taff, and you think anyone would see those and just think, ah,
it's tremendous, isn't it? And it has to have played a part in why we've become such a destination, you know.
Yeah, so full credit to the people who've kind of brought those events to Cardiff, because obviously they don't just happen, do they? There's a lot of kind of jiggery pokery going on in the background.
I used to work for the council. We don't want to think about that. But just to see the FA Cup final here in the Ashes, it's extraordinary.
I know, it's wicked, it's really cool.
I mean, thinking back of it, you have to pinch yourself at these events we hear, really.
Yeah.
It used to drive me nuts because all the London journalists would moan about the M4 coming into Cardiff and all that. They still do, don't they? And you just think, oh, come on, you know, it's not that bad. The train situation. Wow.
The train situation, yeah. Well, that's the thing.
Try and get a Wembley on the North Circular. That can be fun in games, but...
I know, but they'll always find something to complain about.
Yeah, exactly. The train situation is...
Thing is, I don't have to do it. So that's the thing. I never really kind of noticed. Only people, must be so painful at the end of internationals, like queuing in the rain for like 3 hours to get back to Bridgend or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for
it. It's ugly. That is ugly. But, you know, you've got to hope they're working on solutions to that. So could we just touch on your early life a bit, because you said, I was quite interested, you said your parents came here at the age of 14. What was the story behind that?
Yeah, I think my dad was 13. So he came from Italy.
Right.
So he was, his older brothers came to Cardiff. Basically, I think his older brothers, Gino and Mario, would come to Cardiff because they got a job. You couldn't just come here. You had to get employment before you came.
Yeah.
So basically, they got a job in the steelworks, and they were due to go to Swansea.
Mm-hmm.
And they made friends. They did one overnight stay. I don't know what it was in, like a hostel maybe, near King's Cross, before getting on the train to Wales. And they met this other Italian guy, but he could speak English. They couldn't speak English. The whole train of Italians couldn't speak much English. And when the train pulled into Cardiff, they were chatting to this guy who spoke English. And the guy, this chap, Welsh guy, got on the train and just said, I need three people, or maybe it was five people, a few people for Cardiff. And then the rest of the train was going to go on to Swansea. So this new pal of theirs went, oh, he wants some people from Cardiff. It's a bigger city, so let's just get off here. It's better than Swansea.
Mm.
So they got off. So that's the reason why we're in Cardiff and not Swansea.
Can you imagine that happening these days?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So what did your dad do then?
Well, no, so that was these were his older brothers.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
About 5 years before, 3 years before. Gino, my uncle, is amazing. He lives in Lady Mary, and so he always tells me this story.
Yeah.
But they got different houses in Splott and docks and what have you. And every month, was it? Or not every week, it couldn't have been. He shows me his little aliens card. So basically like a visa, I suppose, a work visa. And the policeman would come around and check it, literally in person, make sure that he was still there and he was still doing what he was meant to be doing. So they got different jobs, and eventually they started to apply to get the rest of the family over. Mm-hmm. So they had mum and dad and two brothers at that time to come bring over. And they just kept saying no. And eventually, so he went through a solicitor to do all this. And when he had another knockback, he had the idea, he got all the receipts of all the money he was sending back to Italy.
Yeah.
And just said, send them all these receipts and explain that you can see that we can take care of them over here, So it doesn't matter if they're working or not, because we're paying for them. And this is all the money that you're losing being sent back. And that did the trick. Cool. So that was good old Uncle Gino.
Yeah.
So that meant my dad came over.
Yeah.
And he always tells a story of like waking up in Splott. They're in Pontypridd Street, which is not there anymore.
Right.
And waking up one miserable. They must have arrived at night. And then he woke up in the day and it was just grey. And he thought the world turned black and white.
What part of Italy was he from, by the way?
Well, they're from Sicily. But by that point, they were living in Tuscany.
Right.
They'd moved after the war because the conditions were so bad. Tuscany, yeah.
That's a hell of a leap.
Isn't it just? So, he just thought the world had turned black and white. And then my mum came down from Pontypool, where it was probably still black and white, because her dad got her job in Rossborough, I think it was,
right.
at the time.
Yeah.
So they're very both kind of like really working class kind of pride, but I think my grandfather had kind of become white collar by that point.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the background, it's all Blenavon steelworkers and coal miners.
Of course, there's quite a tradition, isn't there, of Italians coming to the South Wales Valley.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's nice that there is that heritage. So even though my family, I suppose, are Johnny Come Latelys in that respect, because they only came over in the 60s, whereas I suppose it's going back nearly 100 years before that, they were Italians coming, creeping into the valleys and kind of changing the culture slowly as well.
Bringing good coffee for a start.
Exactly, and kind of ice cream parlours on a Sunday, because obviously the pubs were shut. I'm really proud of and kind of love that kind of fusion of kind of different cultures, it's so accepted now, isn't it? Italian culture, I mean, it's kind of, you know, there's the pizza and stuff like that.
But
it's,
even think about it.
Well, you don't, is it? Because everybody's adopted
it
to such a degree. But I suppose back then it must have been seen as very foreign and very different.
Yeah.
I kind of get a glimpse of that because I married an Irish woman. So when I go over to see her family and stuff, there's still it's definitely, they're not quite as accepting of.
No.
They are, but it's just not.
Is it rural Ireland?
Yeah.
Rural
Donegal. But, don't get
beautiful
me wrong.
Beautiful place, yeah.
Yeah, it's a stunning place, amazing. Yeah. And there is there's an Afghan takeaway in the little village, don't get me wrong. And there is an Indian and there is a Chinese.
Yeah.
So it's not like they haven't, but obviously they haven't had the same type of immigration because they didn't have an empire to kind of, you know, so it's a completely different scenario. But it's just funny, just in terms of their kind of, so you listen to some people's kind of attitudes to foreign food.
Mm.
If it's not just, there's a meat and potatoes and you know, like a traditional meal, then it's just weird and they don't want it.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting.
Yeah. So going back to I Loves the Diff then, does your sort of heritage, if you like, does that feed into how you feel about Cardiff? Because I've always, even though I'm sort of a North Cardiff boy, and it's very white, really. Cattays. North of Cattays is pretty white, and I would argue pretty one-dimensional. So, but in terms of yourself, it's Cardiff is a very multicultural place, and in my experience, very accepting.
Yeah.
Overall, you know, not perfect, but I've found very accepting overall of any number of different cultures, probably because we're a dock city. Does that feed into why you love the place so much?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I suppose that's exactly it, isn't it? I mean, people, like you mentioned, the docks and change, and also as a capital, like I mentioned earlier, that we're not 100% Welsh, or we are, but we're not typically Welsh, probably because of this kind of, this constant influx and transition and change. I mean, one of the best things about the city is exactly that, the fact that we are just a kind of a complete kind of mongrel, you know, and race or, you know, melting pot, and all the better for it. I mean, it just makes life so much more interesting and rich, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things, I forgot what I was going to say, which is a bit of a shame. It happens in my
It'll age. Come back. Oh, yeah. It certainly happens in my age.
But no, I mean, in terms of like, I mean, things have changed for the better as well since. So, I mean, like since growing up, because I remember, like, on my street, there was an African family of doctors and things like that. But you didn't, like, I grew up in, North Cardiff and what have you. You wouldn't see black people on the streets.
No.
You know what I mean? Which sounds like a stupid thing to say. But when you go to Bristol, and there were kind of plenty of, there were Asians and stuff, but there weren't many like African black kind of people.
Yeah.
And you just think, oh, that's the way it should be. That's the way on British TV, on EastEnders, that's the way it is. And then Cardiff has changed in that respect.
Yeah,
so there's definitely been more kind of an influx or a belated one, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is, because obviously there was no, racism, but I suppose the real melting pot that everybody celebrates was in, it was Tiger Bay and the docks.
Yeah.
And while that was great, and I know there were problems there as well occasionally, but for the most part, it was just an amazing place of its time.
Yeah.
And unique almost in Britain, but certainly unique in Wales and Cardiff. That did not spread, really, did it?
No.
So it's almost like it's slightly artificial to say that Cardiff has always been like that. Mm-hmm. So in many ways it's better than it ever has been.
Yeah.
Because I mean it is a relatively safe and happy city.
Mm.
And so I mean no, it's definitely one of the things. I think it's the fact that both my parents have come here and love it and have made their lives here. And the fact that anybody can do that. And I think that's one of the things I always wanted to do with I Love Zadif is celebrate the city, but it wasn't exclusive. I didn't want it to be, like a lot of people when it first started were saying, oh, you got to send your T-shirts to Charlotte Church, send them to famous people and stuff. And I was like, well, no, I don't want it to be about celebrities wearing the T-shirt. No. I wanted it to be inclusive, not exclusive. I wanted it to be cool, but if it was, I was going to fight, you can't contrive that.
No.
It's just got to happen. So I wanted it about anybody who felt that way about Cardiff. You didn't have to be a certain colour for a start, but you certainly didn't have to be born here.
No.
You didn't have to prove, kind of blood types. You go down those kind of routes and it just gets daft, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I feel very lucky about is the fact that I was always taken to often taken to rugby as a little boy, the internationals.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dad's had debentures. And so I remember growing up, and it was a kind of a slightly intimidating and exciting experience back then, because it was mainly men.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of, the smells of, acrid smells of cigar smoke and alcohol.
And
worse. Yeah, exactly, a lot worse. And it was mildly terrifying, but it was, the crowds and everything, it was just amazing. But it was just all blokes. And in the place where there used to be these kind of old, well, they probably weren't old, but I thought they were old, farmers right in front of us for years. Now there's a young doctor, and she's Asian, whatever, Cardiff Asian, and she takes her young brother as well, who's kind of turned into this strapping rugby player, and over the years that he's been there. And it's just kind of nice when you're sat there just thinking, we're all Wales, and that's what it is, and you don't ask questions of it, because if you ask too many questions, it all falls apart in the sense that how far back do you want to go before you realise, well, actually, chances are you came from England and you came from there and you came from there. Yeah. So, I think for about being Welsh and certainly about being Cardiff or Cardiffian, if you're here, you're in the club, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that extends to being Welsh as well.
Yeah, yeah. But I think what struck me with I Love Zadif and everything is, you kind of hit on, and you've mentioned it today, you've hit on that we are Welsh, but we are different. We're not the stereotypical daffodil hat wearing Welsh. It's a different, there is a different feel to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think as well, sort of Gavin and Stacey did the same as well, in terms of showing that we're not those sing-song valley accents. There's a lot more to it. Because it used to drive me nuts if I saw a drama that was set in Cardiff and they had all these
Welsh
valley
accents
and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously there's so many people from the valleys in Cardiff.
Oh yeah, it's not a bad thing.
No,
but
it's obviously distinct, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got our own accent, not that I seem to have it.
Yeah.
But I agree with you in that respect. I mean, it's just, I'm 100% proud of being Welsh.
Yeah.
I'm half Welsh, I'm half Italian. But I mean, I'm so proud of being Welsh. But yeah, this city isn't typically Welsh.
No.
That's the point. And I think that's why, like any big city or capital city, it's around the world, the big city is viewed with distrust or mistrust by the hinterland.
True, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's exactly the same with this, isn't it? So
yeah.
I mean, forgetting the cultural north-south divide here due to language and lack of infrastructure and lots of different reasons. But I just think. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. Again, there's so many different parts to it, isn't there? I mean, Cardiff saw so much of an influx of Irish and English during the 19th century. I mean, you go from like a population of about 5,000 in 1904 to about something ridiculous. I mean, you're talking about nearly 100,000 or something.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah, an explosion, but it was more like they were coming in. It wasn't, it wasn't an explosion going out. So, and I think that's the one thing that I think I wish Cardiff did a little bit more of, was celebrate its Irish roots. Because obviously, and its history generally, I think. Because, I mean, there's so many people here who have who, if they've stayed or their families have stayed, you know, they weren't necessarily Welsh. Well, you've got the obviously a huge number of Welsh farmers and, you know, kind of country folk as well coming in. So, I mean, it's just a complete melting pot, isn't it?
It is.
But it definitely made it distinctive and completely different.
Really struck me growing up with, and moving here actually, because through my wife's family, they're very connected with the St. Joseph's Rugby Club.
Okay,
and all that. But that's massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
By definition, it's a huge, you know, the heritage is Irish there, and it was with my brother's rugby club, St. Peter's, you know, huge, you know, and it massive networks of, you know, old, I don't know if you call them old Irish expats or, you know, and now they're all fully, you know, completely Cardiff and Welsh and all that, you know, but the heritage is very much there. You're right. You don't hear about it very often, do you?
No, and I think people quite quickly forget that, in terms of generations, isn't it? I mean, it's not, and it's just a bit sad, really. But then I suppose if, how many people know what their great grandparents did for a living? I mean, it's, you know, it's gone, isn't it? It's kind of, I don't suppose
it's very sad, isn't it?
I think it is. I mean, unless people make a specific effort to trace their family tree and things like that. But I mean, when does that become really appealing to people? I mean, I it's increasingly appealing to me, but I'm getting a bit old, so
you start thinking about it a bit
I suppose. So it's different when you're young, you're going to live forever, you don't really care about stuff, the old people and what's gone before. You want to branch out and do something new, don't you?
I think.
So maybe it's to do with that. And I suppose also because families are increasingly kind of, I don't know, like nuclear and disintegrated.
Yeah.
There's not, you know, granny in the corner looking after the kids on the fire. I mean, it's all gone a little bit, that, isn't it? So things aren't passed down in the same way, which is sad, isn't it?
It is. Well, I think it is. That's the old cliche. You need to know about your past and history, don't you? Because it informs the future. And if it suddenly feels like we're always starting from zero, and that's not always a good. I think the political situation we see now. Getting deep, man. But, you know, but it does though, doesn't it? You know, the things that are happening for me. Because there's elements in the media and the way politics is going, there are dangerous sort of shadows of fascism. It's probably, I'm possibly being a bit extreme there, but there's certainly elements of it, and the quashing of opinion and things like that.
It does feel like a more dangerous time than it has done in my lifetime, I think.
So
I would agree with you. And I think, exactly that. If you've seen... You can see the warning signs if you've either lived through it or at least you're aware of what relatively recent generations have lived through. If you're completely oblivious to it, then the chances are we'll make the same mistakes again.
Well, that is the thing. So I'm conscious I've kept you...
I'm enjoying it.
Hours and hours and hours. And please come on again if this podcast endures, because that would be, it'd be great to have you back on. But before we... A, descend into a fascist state, and B, you leave the building tonight. What does a Cardiff night out look at? Because we've talked a lot about change today. What do you like doing in Cardiff now? What would be a typical night out for you?
A night out? Well, a night out these days, unfortunately, would probably involve Poncana, which is fun, don't get me wrong, but it's not like going to town anymore.
No.
But actually, Saturday night, let's just say last Saturday, so I can talk about it.
Yeah.
It's literally just happened. It's like I actually do these things on a regular basis. So we did start out in the halfway in Poncana, because that's where a lot of my friends are based these days.
Uh-huh.
And then we went to town. So we went to, what did we do? We went to City Arms, and we went to Tiny Rebel. So we're doing kind of like that whole kind of like indie quarter and stuff. The time before I went to town, I did those two, and then we ended up in the Full Moon. So that was quite good fun. We didn't drink the green beer, but have you tried that?
Not yet.
Oh, you've got to get down there. It's weird.
It sounds brutal.
I don't know actually if it's beer, but it's this green liquid that is, I'm not sure how good for you it is, but anyway, it's got to be done once.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And
then
what else did we do? Oh no, we went to Kong's. So that's a good little bar. You've been there?
What's it called?
Kong's.
Kong's. No, I haven't been
to
Kong's.
It's full of video games. It was basically where Charlie Brown's was.
Yes, I've seen it. I haven't been in yet. That's worth a go, is it?
Oh, it's brilliant, yeah.
Have they got Galaxian? Because that was my game of choice when I was a kid.
If it'll make you go in there, I'll say yes.
Okay, good.
So it's ping pong, it's video games. They've got... so two ping pong tables. And they've also got the foosball or baby foot.
Brilliant,
which I love. So we're in there for a little bit. Then Chippy Lane. To end it off.
Inevitable.
So, yeah, exactly. It was inevitable and regretted.
Which one, though? Dorothy's?
Well, everyone says Dorothy's. It's like you've got to say Dorothy's, otherwise you don't know what you're talking about. But yeah. Sorry, I'm Tony's guy.
You're Tony's? So, yeah. Oh, fair enough, yeah.
I don't know why.
I'm not going to judge you for that.
I think it's just when you're drunk, the Tony sign is bigger. So it just kind of was always drawn me in. Yeah. It also seems brighter, so it's wider. You can't miss it. So that's where I've always gone to Tony's. So I've only ever done Dorothy's. I've been with somebody who literally will not take no for an answer.
Mm. It's a bit upmarket, Dorothy's, compared to be honest.
It's too upmarket for Caroline Street. Yeah. Well, the other thing on Twitter is you get the argument. So it's not just Dorothy's or Tony's, but it's where there's Chippy Lane or Chippy Alley and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and
then people, for me, because I'm 50, growing up, I never heard it called any of those things. It was always Caroline Street.
Well, then the other thing is you've got the third strand of argument, which is that. So people are just going, it's all bollocks. It's definitely Caroline Street. I've called it Chippy Alley once and then got a barrage of abuse that only Valleys people call it Alley. And it's just like, life's a bit too short for this kind
That's a bit of a worry if that bothers you, really.
I know. Well, people do get really hit up on it. Yeah. We can discuss it on Twitter if you like.
Yeah.
And we're promoting this.
Twitter war. Yeah. Yes, absolutely, yeah.
But, I would say Tony's for me, I'm afraid.
You see some sights on Caroline Street, though.
Being the first, was it the first January of the year? So, the first Saturday, sorry, of the year. So it was a bit quiet and tame.
Yeah.
But it can be quite an eye opener, can't it?
Have you been back to the Philly since it reopened?
Yes, went there. What did we do? We saw one of the qualifying Wales games in there, so it was just early evening.
Yeah.
But it was smart. Amazing.
Yeah, I haven't been in yet. Yeah.
Looks amazing.
Yeah.
They're doing a nice job on it because it's. I think before didn't I? This is going way back, but there was. There's no bar right at the back, like the whole dance floor area and then a bar.
Yeah.
So I think they've just knocked that through because there's like a ramp down and then there's a huge area, which I assume used to be the slightly downstairs disco area.
There was like it was like you went down a level and there was a small-ish bar on the right before you went down into the club. What was the club called right at the bottom?
Pass.
Oh man, I am older than you and I'm realizing.
No, I've been dancing in there a couple of times, but it was a long time. Long time ago.
But it was just an epic place. So I'm curious to get back in there.
You should do it. But it looks nice. They've done a really good job on it. It's like all these places, they spend so much on the decor, don't they? But I suppose that's what people recall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially in that run now, because it's quite fancy, isn't it? But I haven't been in... I had a look at Coyote Ugly before it opened, because I was invited in to have a quick sneak preview.
Right.
But I have to admit, I've not been back since it's opened. So I don't get.
It's not the kind of place that appeals to me. I got to say.
I never saw the film. I assume, I think there's girls dancing on the bar, which is like okay, fine. But then
got Kiwis for that.
But then apparently, men aren't allowed to dance on the bar. If boys aren't allowed on the bar, and the girls, so that's all.
Yeah,
that's a bit weird.
I find all that a bit tacky, to be quite honest with you. It's not good, is it?
Give me a craft ale.
Definitely. I'm definitely of that age where I'd like to drink craft beer. Though.
Yeah, well,
so, Tiny Rebel, City Arms, that's definitely a good combination.
Exactly.
Right, Chris, no one leaves the Cardiff podcast empty-handed.
Oh, right.
So there's the book I wrote. Complimentary copy for you.
Thank you so much.
It is a different name, but...
Have you signed it?
Oh, I will do.
Thank you.
I will do for you, yeah. I was so disorganised with this, and life always gets in the way. So I wanted to buy you some Pipes beer, but the shop locally where I can get Pipes...
Ah, the booze place.
Yeah, there's a brilliant vinyl and craft beer pop-up shop.
Pop-up
it's great, yeah, it's really good. Of course, we've shut today. So I've got the next best thing, wine from Chile.
There
we are. But thank you so much for coming on.
It is very
chilly, it is. So really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Wow, well, I would have definitely said yes if you'd mentioned these incentives before. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So that's it. The very first Cardiff podcast is in the can. Thanks once again to Chris Amadeo for joining me for that. As well as huge congratulations to him and his wife, who've just recently given birth to a lovely little girl, Ella, at Cardiff's Heath Hospital. So huge congratulations there. Next up on the Cardiff podcast is Steve Dimmock, founder of Cardiff Red Book Group, as well as the brains behind the now global company, Dudepoll. So that's a very interesting chat that took place in Chapto recently. Please join me for that. And please, if you do get a moment, to rate and review this podcast. It draws attention to the fact we're there. And all comments, especially if they're constructive, will be good for me to learn and evolve this podcast. But for now, thank you very much.